We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's Tuesday in Brevard County, Florida. What a blessing it is. I've got a man in my church. He just spent a little over a week up in New York here a couple of weeks ago. Just piles and piles of snow that he sent pictures of. And we live in Florida. I don't know about you, but that puts a smile on my face. I absolutely consider it a privilege and an honor to be blessed to live in Brevard County, Florida. So my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio program, and we're going to spend the next half hour talking about who you are in Jesus Christ. And I pray that these truths will be refreshing to you. They'll put a smile on your face, and that the joy of the Lord would be yours today. In fact, that's where we're going to begin today, is that you are filled with joy. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And so we want to take just a minute to invite you out to our kids' ministry night tomorrow night. We do have an adult Bible study that takes place from 7 to 7:45. It's an abbreviated service because we dismiss our kids at 7:45, and they're going to need a ride home. So we make sure that the adults and the kids get out at the same time. We try to get the kids to where they can get home, get their showers, and get their bedtime snack, still get to bed in time to get their 8 or 9 hours worth of sleep. And so our services, we got boys ministry, we got girls ministry, we got adult ministry, and we start serving food for the kids at 6. Our classes for the kids start at 6:30. Classes for the adults start at 7. So that's what is coming up. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching the last message, and I'm not announcing the title of this one because it's a bit of a groaner, but I want to ask you to come out and be a part of what God is doing, the message that he's laid upon my heart for this week. We talked about offense, the trap of living an offended life, and there are a lot of people living offended right now. And then there's this message this last Sunday morning was on offense, that we've got to quit waiting for the enemy to attack so that all we do is counteract or respond from a defensive position. God intends for us to make an impact on this world. The world should be a better place because of you and because of me. And this week we're going to be talking about the third concept in that sermon series. A friend of mine said, if you don't hurry up and preach that, I will. And so we're looking forward to what God is going to do. I want to take you to Galatians chapter 5 today. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses... Oh, that's not Galatians, that's Ephesians. Hold on just a second. Let me turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We're talking about this series of declarations that Pastor Craig Rochelle makes over his own life and has given to his congregation that will disarm the power of the enemy. Do you realize how many people there are that don't believe that they are loved? There are millions of people who either feel overwhelmed or isolated or unloved. And I want you to understand today that the exact opposite is true, that God loves you. God loves you. That's the greatest truth that there is. He just doesn't love the idea of you. He loves you. He loves you in spite of all of your failures, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your successes. He loves you, not for what you can do, but he loves you for who you are. You were created by God to be loved by God. You are a passion project, if you will. He loves you. He loves you. And so if you just need to remind yourself of that today, I encourage you to just speak those words out. God, I am so thankful that you love me. Galatians chapter 5 has a lot of things that it talks about are supposed to be supernatural fruit in the lives of believers. There are many commentators that sum all of these things up as being various attributes of that one we just talked about, which is love, because it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so they put all of these other attributes as a synopsis or just an individual characteristic or an individual application of the love that God has. So you start off by today reminding yourself that you are loved, even if you've blown it. I remember hearing a story about a person who every time they sat down for breakfast that the husband's toast was burned, and he would compliment his wife, and finally the kids began to talk to him about it and said, you know, why do you like burnt toast so much? And he said, well, it's not that I like burnt toast. It's that I love your mother. And they said, well, why don't you say, you know, why don't you, you know, not cook the toast quite so long? He says, look, your mother is a very busy person. I'm a very busy man. And so if all I've got to do is scrape off some of the char off of the toast, because I love your mother and she loves me and we love you and all of the other things, burnt toast really isn't that significant in the grand scheme of things. And so I want you to know today that you are loved. Now let's talk about these other attributes that are mentioned here in chapter 5. It's on Pastor Craig's list, and it's that joy. Today, you are filled with joy. Last week, I was in the office. There was a video that popped up on Facebook, and it was one of those unexpected videos. It sucked me in, and I watched it, and then I got such a chuckle out of it that I showed it to my office manager, and her response 5 minutes later was this: that is going to entertain me for the rest of the day. And she was still chuckling over all of the things that she saw on that video. There was nothing dirty about it. There was nothing anything close to inappropriate about it. It was just funny. By the way, I will tell you this. It takes a lot more effort to be funny in a clean manner than it does to be funny the way that the world tries to do it. I mean, raunchy and is not the same thing as funny. I just want you to be aware of that. So I don't want you to just be amused. I want you to realize that you are a person that is filled with the joy of the Lord. The kingdom of God, if you believe that the kingdom of God is living inside of you, the way that Jesus says, the scripture says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So as a child of God, God has placed joy down inside of you. When you were at church on Sunday, if you went into his presence, you should have come out filled with the joy of the Lord. If you come into church mad and go out of church mad, you missed a golden opportunity. If you come into work mad and go home mad, you've missed a wonderful opportunity. If you walk in the door upset and frustrated and you go to bed that same way, you have missed a wonderful opportunity. And the sad thing is, you never, ever get that back. The scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In fact, if you look in the book of Philippians, you will find the concept of joy in the lives of believers to be mentioned very, very frequently. It is a repetitive concept that comes up. And it's not just theoretical. It's not just when things are going well. Paul demonstrated that to the Philippians when he was sitting in their jail cell after having just been beaten, which was something that wasn't supposed to take place for a Roman citizen the way that Paul was. He was a Roman citizen. He was beaten, and yet he still found the determination inside of himself to worship the Lord, and did it with such great abandonment, if you will, that there was a supernatural earthquake that took place. The jailer and his entire household ended up getting saved. If I got to go to jail, I want people getting saved as a result of it. If I got to go any place, I want people getting saved as a result of it. And so today, don't just focus on whether or not things are going your way. Focus on the God who is going to make sure that your eternity is just incomprehensibly wonderful. Do you realize how temporary our problems are? Paul refers to them as light and momentary afflictions, even though when you are going through them, they don't seem light and they don't seem momentary. But those afflictions cannot compare with the glory that God has laid up in store for you. So, man, I got blessed going to it was a fast food restaurant here a couple of weeks ago. I think I mentioned this to you on the radio program, but I got blessed, and it wasn't because of the food. I got blessed because I heard one employee tell another employee these words: smile, Jesus loves you. I heard those words, and it's like, praise God. It made my day. I don't know if it made the other person feel any better, but it made me feel better. Not only are you joyful, we talked yesterday about being strengthened by God. This next one says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. So I want you to declare today that you have the peace of God that passes understanding. Too many people refuse to have peace. This is not actually on his list here, at least in this spot. So I'm going to talk about it on my own. And that is, I believe peace is part of your spiritual fruitfulness. It's a byproduct of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That when we know that he's got our eternity under control, we can trust that he's also got our here and now under control. If we can see that he had things under control in the Old Testament, we can know that he's got our now under control. Now faith is. And so I can have peace. I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Last year when Hurricane Matthew came through, I tell you, that was one of the best nights of sleep I was having during that stretch, the night that the hurricane blew through. And it wasn't because there were not enough things that I could rack my brain around and fret over and all of that sort of stuff, but I had an assurance in my spirit. I was actually teaching Psalm 91 at that point in time in our Wednesday night series. And God gave me faith for that season, that concept wasn't just something that had come up in my mind that was to teach, but it was a timely word for that season. And God gave me and the church tremendous peace for everything that was going on. There were things that were out of our control, but they weren't out of God's control. And so today, I encourage you to be filled with peace. If everybody at your work is panicking, you be the person of peace. Okay? I refuse to give in to panic and fear and torment. I don't have to go there. And I refuse to go there. God's word says he will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed upon him. And so continue to think about Jesus. You have the peace of God today that passes understanding. Long suffering. Did you know that you are a patient person? Okay? You are a patient person because of Jesus. Let me explain. Jesus was long-suffering with you. He was patient with you because it took you a lot longer than what it should have taken for us to come and put our faith in Jesus Christ. It took me too long to grasp the mission. The regrets that I have many times are not the things that I did or didn't do, but how long it took me to do them. I realized that I missed some opportunities, and God in his tender mercy and his long suffering showed patience on my behalf. And because I know that he's a patient God, I too can be a patient person. Do not settle for the excuse that, well, I come from a long line of impatient, angry people, and so therefore I'm an impatient and angry person, and I'm going to have kids that are going to be impatient and angry kids. Baloney. Nowhere does it say that the chain cannot be broken when it comes to your personal attitude and your demeanor and your lack of patience. God can strengthen you and give you the ability to be patient with people. Okay? Most of the time, it is going to take people longer to get to a destination, a desirable destination, than what it should be, than what it should take. So be a little patient. Okay? I'll just give you a little peek under the hood of my emotional makeup. One of the things that annoys me is when other people demand patience when we are dealing with them. And again, I'm not talking about anybody in particular here, so just rest your mind. Not a current situation, not a past situation, and it's just a generic circumstance. When people demand patience when you're dealing with them and then do not demonstrate patience towards other people that they need to demonstrate patience to. Okay? Two dangerous prayers that I pray. Lord, make me holy, and Lord, make me patient. The only way you can know if you have grown in the area of patience is to be thrown into a situation where you would have normally lost your cool, and instead of losing your cool, you end up demonstrating the patience of Jesus Christ with those around you. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I want you to know today that because of Jesus Christ, you can afford to be gentle with people. You can be gentle with people. I do this little visible demonstration, and the demonstration is just clunk your, maybe you can hear, I'm resting my elbow on the radio station desk here, and you can hear the thud. It doesn't take any strength whatsoever for me to just clunk my elbow down or to smack my hand down on the desk. Doesn't take any strength whatsoever. But if I tell you to take your hand, your strongest hand, and I want you to just barely, gently allow that hand to hover over your other hand, you know what you're going to find? That all of a sudden you're moving muscles in your forearm, and you're moving muscles in your bicep area. You're using muscles all the way into your back and into your neck. And I do that demonstration to let people know that it is a demonstration of greater strength when you are gentle with a person than when you use brute force. Anybody can brutalize anybody else. It doesn't take any strength at all to brutalize somebody. I mean, if you can't do it physically, you can do it with your mouth. I've had people attack me with their mouth. I can go all the way back to seventh grade if you'd like, or probably even before that, where people just said horrible things to me. And you know, all that does whenever you attack somebody without restraint is it shows a lack of strength on your part. So I want to encourage you today. God is a gentle shepherd. He's a good shepherd. And you and I, part of the fruit that God wants to develop in us is that we too can be gentle with people. Here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, is faithfulness. I'm skipping over one. I'm going to come back to it another time. Faithfulness needs to be in great demonstration. I believe that faithfulness is a commodity that right now has greater value than it has ever had before, because it is in such rare, it is a rare exhibit. I believe that the people of God should be faithful to their God, faithful to their commitments, faithful in their finances, faithful with the things that have been entrusted to them, because it doesn't take any special skill to betray anybody. Be faithful to your calling. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to those that you love. Be faithful because God is the only one who can make you faithful. And here is my favorite verse when it comes to faithfulness, and it's in first, or I guess it's in 2 Samuel, and it's in the book of Psalms. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And so today, if you want to see the faithfulness of God, allow God to make you to be a faithful person. And so I want to encourage you today, maybe you have blown it in the area of faithfulness and on some level. And if that's the case, then I just encourage you to repent of that. Confess it to God and ask Him to make you a faithful person. My wife almost always falls asleep quicker than I do at night, and it's no surprise. She is an extremely hard worker. She gets up early in the morning so she can seek God before she goes to work. And by the time she goes to bed at night, she has squeezed about all of life out of that day that she can. And sometimes she even waits until her head hits the pillow before she falls asleep. But I was watching this preacher on television, very famous preacher, and he nationwide broadcast, and he said, when my wife and I first got married, before I was saved, he said, I was unfaithful to my wife. And when I gave my heart to Jesus, I said, God, I want you to make me a faithful man. And he testified, and I don't remember how many years that they had been married now, but he said, I want to grow old with this woman. I want to be faithful to her. And he testified that God had made him a faithful person. Today, be faithful. If you can't do everything that needs to be done at work, be faithful. You may not be able to control everything that you do, but you can control who you can be. Two more things here out of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and that is you are self-controlled. You have self-control. Declare that with me. I have self-control. You know where I first heard the concept of self-control? It wasn't in church. It was in my music class, where Mrs. Owens had on her wall, practice self-control, practice self-control. You see, she knew and was trying to get us to understand that other people don't make you angry. You choose to get angry. Other people don't make you anything. You are the one that make the choices that end up going there. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control, or a sound mind. And so the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. So you have control over that. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and you're abiding in him, you will be a controlled person. You won't have to have exterior people controlling you. Do you realize that one of the things about this world is we pay people to make us do what we cannot get ourselves to do? Okay? And so there's so much information on there. You could have the equivalent of a doctor's degree if you availed yourself of all the information that's available for free on the internet. But instead, we pay people to give us deadlines to force us to do things that we can't get to do ourselves. Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled in your behavior. Be self-controlled in your diet. Be self-controlled in your finances. You can be self-controlled. And the last thing here is, I am kind. I am kind. 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, I believe that Christians should be the nicest people on the planet. That doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to do everything that people want us to do, but our demeanor should be of such that we're not constantly walking around on edge and the volcano's about ready to blow. When is the last time you did something just out of the kindness of your heart? I believe there's an expression that goes around that says, practice acts of kindness. A long time ago, and by a long time ago, I mean like 20 years ago, I was looking at this situation of growing old. I saw some people, and I saw the people who were growing old, and they were growing old grumpy. And I said, God, I don't want to be an angry old person. And he said, then don't be an angry young person. He said, if you want to be a kind old person, be a kind young person. God bless you. You are a kind person. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Looks like tonight the sky